Now, side effects may include bloating. Mark Maron.
Thank you. I just inhaled an entire Middle Eastern platter of some kind. Chicken shawarmas, falafels, potatoes, tahini.
Hello, bloating.
Hummus. And raita. I don't know what raita was doing there. It's a yogurt sauce. Isn't that the same as the Indian yoga sauce? Yogurt sauce, raita?
Yeah, that's Indian, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, but there's there was a little of that. Oh, you know what it is? It's Greek. It's the Greek version. It's not the Indian one. It's the Greek one. Man, I'm glad we cleared that up.
Well, you know,
that would have screwed me up for hours.
Get some bloggers on that.
Figured out where the hell that came from. Yeah, bloggers, you people at markmaron.com, let's get some emails going.
I would think our next guest.
Because, what?
Would know about that.
Yeah, he knows. Patton knows everything. And if he doesn't, he'll make you believe that
yeah.
he does.
Yep.
Hold on, I'm going to introduce you.
Oh, sorry.
I think I'm going to take this from the angle. I'm going to play the resentful interviewer who is jealous of everything you do.
Well, oh, okay.
Again?
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, this guy Patton, you know, I knew him when he was just starting out. He wasn't really that funny. And I met him up in San Francisco. And then for some reason, you know, he gets famous, you know? You've probably seen him on Comedy Central, HBO, or on the commercial where his kilt blows up. Which one?
That was Sierra Mist.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's really the best stuff you've done.
It really is. Yeah. Well, it's the closest to who I am. That was the most personal.
Yeah, you can tell in your face, it, like, finally.
I had the courage to show people who I was.
he's on the King of Queens every week or every other week, or how does that work?
Pretty much every other week.
Every other week? That must be a good money. That must be some good money, huh? You're going to be making money off of that for a long time.
You know, you're like the alcoholic uncle that comes up to you at the family reunion and is like, hey, what are you drinking? It's like, a vodka tonic. Yeah. Oh, I bet that's good.
I bet that's great.
That's real good.
I used to love those. Yeah, well, you enjoy that because everything's going good for you now. Now, who the hell knows what's going to happen in the future?
That is true.
Maybe a spinoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a DVD out. You got a new CD that you're asking people to order on your website pre-release?
No. I'm working on the new CD, but I'm not pre-ordering yet.
I saw a thing on your website that said pre-order it now. Are you sure?
Oh, pre-order the DVD.
Oh, that's not out yet?
No, the DVD is out.
So why are people pre-ordering if they can't?
Probably because I'm lazy and I didn't tell my webmaster to change that.
There you go. Do you have
an idiot?
Does your webmaster live with you?
No.
Hey, dude, get up, man. We just changed everything.
Hey, it's 3:30 in the afternoon. Could you listen? Don't even need to get out of bed. Just bring your laptop over. Listen, I'll spell it out for you.
He's a comedian of comedy. Patton Oswalt's here. I was still in the intro. I was still working through the intro. Isn't that amazing?
But I liked how it petered out.
We did the interview.
He's a comedian of Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. So what the hell have you been doing? Why are you here? Did I ask you to come?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry. That's rude. I'm the
host. You asked me to come a few weeks ago, and I had to blow you off. And I remember I could tell by your emails, you were very, very pissed at me.
I was getting curt. Because I think you told me
really
like hours before, you're like, oh, I thought you meant tomorrow today.
Yeah, no, I was, I flaked. I flaked and freaked out.
You did?
Yeah, because
what does
I had
that look like for you, flaking and freaking out? Do you run around going, ah?
No, I get really still.
Yeah.
And I get really quiet and really short with people. And they're like, hey, something wrong? No, fine.
And then
fine.
Do you need to nap? Okay. Do you internalize everything and get exhausted or no?
What happens is I then get so tense, but I don't get anything done.
Yeah.
And then all that energy, I need to take a nap.
All right,
after doing nothing.
Well, let's be honest about this, about your work ethic, because I'm curious. Because I can't seem to really get much of anything done.
Yeah.
But you're not on MySpace, right?
I am on MySpace.
Somebody just got me onto that.
Yeah.
That is a ridiculous. If you're a narcissistic, insecure person.
It's the worst.
Because you're just sitting around going, how come, whose friend is that? Maybe I should ask them to be my friend. How many friends do they have?
Oh, I know.
And you look at other people's friends?
Yeah, and also you look at people's comments, and you look at how come I'm not in their top eight, and
there's a ranking thing?
They do a ranking thing on other people's websites, like who's in their top eight, like who they like the best, and
What do you got to do to facilitate this? I didn't put anything on mine. They were like, who do you want to meet? I said the usual freaks, and I put my website.
You know, I hate to say this, but if you want a lot of hits, you got to do a lot of work on MySpace. You got to bells and whistles, videos, stuff like that.
Do you have, you've hired somebody. Your web guy does your MySpace, doesn't he?
No, I do.
Come on, be honest with me.
No, my web guy does my website.
Yeah.
And that costs enough money. So I can't put any more money into my narcissism and ego. I just do the MySpace page myself.
You're just going to let it make money.
I'm going to... No one has ever made money off MySpace, and no one ever will.
Really?
I don't think so.
Except for the guys that just sold it for $500 million.
Oh, yeah. The guys that invented it.
Yeah.
Those pretty much.
So where were you? What have you been doing? How come you blew me off for a week and a half?
I was getting ready to go on a tour that then, at the last minute, I got offers to do things in movies that would have would, that would finance the tour, so I had to say yes to them, and that's why I had to blow you off.
Well, that's difficult to have to say yes to movies. Man, that must hurt a little bit.
I needed the money. I flat out needed the money to pay for the tour.
Sure, I'll work in a movie. Oh, what were the movies? Come on.
It was one movie called the working title is More Than Puppy Love 2.
Really?
Yeah, but
are you
serious? I got to be with a lot of puppies and Peter Boyle. That was cute.
Peter Boyle and puppies and Patton.
And then I'm going out to Kansas City to do more of that later this month.
Another movie with dogs?
No. Like more stuff of that movie.
Oh, it's not too different.
And then there was some stuff in Reno 911, that movie that I did. And
yeah.
And then two things I did for Comedy Central: a hosting gig and a thing where I went to a movie set and talk to people, and I needed that money to so I could finance my tour.
That's really good.
Isn't that nice?
Sorry, I'm just finishing up my tea.
Is that your new yawn, the slurping of the tea?
It's my new hook. I'm doing this on stage too. Mark, right, people?
You want to be in movies, Mark?
Huh?
Do you want to be in movies?
Dude, I was in a movie. I had a very powerful 45 seconds and almost famous.
Really?
Hold on, watch. Lock the gates! I'm famous for that. Man, I go into places and people are going, lock the gates! That's the lock the gates guy. After I explained to him who I was in the movie.
And
that doesn't just happen.
That's really you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is him.
Yeah, and I really had to dig deep.
And
that.
You have an action scene because you're driving a cart and chasing a bus.
Oh, that was a sad.
Remember that?
That was a sad moment of
little arms waving.
I was chasing the bus, and in the director's cut, there's more of me. But the weird thing about that moment was, I probably told you about this before, is those things are shot. When the director goes home, they're like, the second crew's coming in, Mark.
Exactly,
see you later, Cameron. And it's just me and three other guys driving up and down this ramp at the L.A. Coliseum for 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the comedians, let's talk about your successful. good. No cough button. Just use your hand.
I know. There's no cough button.
I know. You wouldn't have used it anyways. Don't lie
to
me.
Yeah, it's true.
So what is bothering you?
Actually, right now, nothing's bothering me. I'm very excited.
Yeah? About
because
what?
I'm excited about Hookergate.
Yeah.
Here's why.
Okay.
Because it's a story that has the word hooker in it.
Yeah.
Fox News, there's no way they can resist running with a story that has the word hooker in it.
Right.
Because they're addicted to ratings. And even though they're a house, basically a Republican House organ, it's going to be really cool to see the tension of them trying to spin it positively, but they have to say hooker all the time in connection with Republicans.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting, I think, to see that tension these next few, don't you think?
They'll start setting it up in a weird way, like, you know, not all hookers are bad people. A lot of them are
exactly.
They're good people, they're parents. Some of them are single moms that are in trouble.
Moms, and the Republicans are trying. What are the Democrats doing for the single moms out there?
Yeah,
nothing.
I mean, I think hooker is just a negative word. I think sex industry worker is another way to put it. And do they get health coverage? No, they don't. And the Democrats are doing nothing about this issue.
No, they condemn and they have no solutions.
If they get a bigger name in on Hookergate, then it will, like we were talking about on the break, why hasn't it infused itself into the broader culture? That there is a culture of corruption in Washington that has to do with fairly esoteric characters to a lot of America. That, you know, most Americans would be hard-pressed to even identify who the hell Porter Goss is.
Right.
I would even say that Tom DeLay is somebody that a lot of Americans don't know. So until a big fish goes down, someone they can identify, then it's really going to pick up some traction in the culture.
Yeah, two-thirds of the people they don't even know where Iraq is on a map, so they care about,
But, I mean, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I actually know where Iraq is.
Really?
I actually know where it is.
You were there.
I was never there, but I actually know where it is.
When you were a kid, though, let's be honest about this. Because, you know, I don't know if when I was in high school I would have been able to find it. I can find it now with no problem, with ease.
Right.
Yeah, I can name a lot of the states and countries, okay? So,
that was actually disingenuous because I didn't really get aware politically until I was in college. I was so aggressively unaware of everything.
Except what?
Beyond trying to get laid. Really, that was it. It started and ended there.
How'd that work out?
You know. It'll happen. Yeah. I'm patient. It's going to happen.
You're married. I hope it happens soon.
I'm married. I mean, right now, things are looking pretty good.
Any day now.
The over-under on me in Vegas is really good right now.
She's dangling in front of me. So, but let me just, let's just get to the bottom of it, though. I seem to be saying that a lot. Bottom line, get to the bottom of it. Little Patton Oswalt is kind of kind of bopping his way down the halls in high school. What kind of reaction is he getting from? Yeah, yeah. Is bopping, is that a word? Yeah. I was going to say plodding.
Yeah. Kind of, I had my collar turned up and the sleeves rolled up.
Who'd you say hi to? Who were you afraid of? Were you a magnanimous kind of like everybody likes me kind of guy? Or were you?
I was friendly.
Were you isolated with the other people? Like, who was your best friend?
No,
in high school?
I was one of those skaters, you know, that was kind of like in between all the cliques.
Yeah, me
I never
too.
Really belonged to a clique.
I think a lot of comics are like that.
Yeah.
Except for the asses.
Right, exactly. Except for the true geniuses that I actually said no one ever talked to me, but that's, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Who wants that for memories?
Did you have that weird skill where you could mock jocks right to their face and they'd still like you? Wasn't that the greatest thing?
Yeah, they love that.
Yeah, because they're retarded, a lot of them.
But look, they're just happy that they're hearing their name. They just hear blah, 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 their name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're just
and
happy.
They turn around in their dumb letter jackets.
Right.
To this day, if I see a kid in a letter jacket, some part of me is like, be cool. Just be cool.
Don't be mean to him.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't know.
Then you're just like an old guy to them now. They don't care.
Yeah.
No, you still appeal to kids. Good for you.
I still appeal to kids?
Yeah, yeah. You've got a lot of youngsters.
Are you running Decca Records? This guy, he still appeals to the kids.
I'm telling you. With this bit, he's going right to the top.
Let's get his face on some wax.
What, are you kidding me? I can see the cover already. Patton sings to kids.
Call Teen Beat and Dynamite. We're going to do some features on this guy in time for summer. Get him on that Sid and Marty Krofft tour.
Call Dick Clark now. tell him what he's gone. We'll get Patton on.
I was saying this the other night. I know this sounds so naive. What, honestly, what is it going to take before Bush has to resign? I mean, Nixon had to resign because what? He broke into an office, put some bugs in the office, and then lied about it. That's it. So at this point, what more does Bush have to do?
I'll tell you what has to happen, honestly.
What?
I've got the answer, and you know what? We'll talk about it right after the break.
Oh, okay.
Here on the Mark Maron Show.
Have you ever wondered what happened to the guy who invented light beer? Well, he's dead. That's Mort Mortensen's Weekly Remembrance coming up next. Now his psyche is divided into six parts. Mark Maron.
Oh, that's one of those cryptic ones. Now, I'm going to stop responding to those things. Other people who have shows and their guy says things in introductions, they don't go, "Hey, really? What are you doing?
What am I living in your basement or something?"
Kind of. You were in my garage this morning making a recording of something.
And
reading Mein Kampf. Let's not forget this morning, Jim.
That was memories.
Hey, we got Patton Oswalt here, and in just a minute, let's do it now, because he looks like he's on his way in. Every week, we reflect in our times of sorrow as we look back on the lives of the recently departed. Here now is grief correspondent Mort Mortensen with our weekly remembrance.
Oh.
You all right?
Yeah, all right, man.
Okay.
Alan Kaprow, expressionist artist. Alan Kaprow, the 60s artist who broke new ground in expression by staging events he dubbed happenings, is now expressing himself by not happening at all. Kaprow's body was found sprawled on a canvas stained with two overturned cans of acrylic paint and paw prints from his Basset Hound Grover. Friends called it his greatest work. One of Kaprow's best-known pieces was Yard, consisting of a jumble of spare tires heaped in a small room open to foot traffic. This was quickly followed up by, "What the hell is my son doing with his life?" Consisting of his mother standing in a small room open to foot traffic yelling, "What the hell is my son doing with his life?"
You all right?
Yeah, I got something in my eye.
Yeah, I know. It's an allergy.
The deceased requested his remains be left in a phone booth with a paper bag and a turnip.
It's appropriate.
It's
very
expressionistic.
Yeah. It's fitting for that guy.
Yeah. Bruce Peterson, the real $6 million man. Bruce Peterson, the former NASA test pilot whose spectacular crash and subsequent recovery inspired the 1970s TV series $6 Million Man, is now $2 worth of dust. He's now starring in his own episode of 6 Feet Under.
Okay, yeah.
He's now lying in a $6 coffin.
Yeah.
I didn't know which one to pick for that.
I'm glad you went with all of them.
Yeah. They all worked.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You can be all right?
Yeah. You have a tissue?
Yeah, I have one. Here you go.
Thanks.
That sounded messy. Oh.
Peterson apparently died of heart failure after having to endure 30 years of phone calls from a confused Farrah Fawcett. Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
She's very confused. Peterson crashed. He crashed in the M2-F2, a wingless lifting body aircraft that led to the development of the space shuttle, a winged lifting body aircraft that led to the development of an endless series of tasteless Challenger jokes. A long way to get to that.
Yeah, I got lost in the middle.
Yeah.
It's okay, though.
Yeah. Actual film footage of Peterson's famous crash was seen in the opening credits of the TV series.
That's right.
Followed by the now classic line, "Whoops, wrong button." Peterson is survived by his two children and the wreckage of Lee Majors' career. This has been the Weekly Remembrance. Until next week, this is Mort Mortensen saying, "Who's chopping onions?"
Thank you, Mort.
Oh, Mort.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's sad.
Yeah, it's touching every week. We have to fight back the tears. Patton Oswalt.
Rock, man. He gets put through it every week.
Every week, got to filter through all the dead people and try to make it respectable.
Yeah.
I find that character... Oh, man.
Come on. Roll with it, man.
I find the character of Mort.
Yeah. Look, Catalina. Patton and I are going to be on Catalina Island with Paul Gilmartin doing Richard Martin.
I love Catalina Island.
You do?
I love it. Yeah.
Huh.
The way you just said that, I just pictured us just on an island.
Just me and you.
The three of us are going to be on the island.
It's very romantic.
Just me pestering you. So, how many people come out to those shows? Just never-ending questions. So when you guys go out on the bus, who pays for that?
Yeah, I mean, how much money? Is there a guarantee? Leave me alone!
It's never-ending.
Yeah.
So, does Kevin James need a new friend? Or I don't know. Does he need a new friend?
Thinking of a new series? Because I could be really,
I could be good at that, man. I could
kooky,
be
kooky liberal nutbag friend. What do you think, man?
I am pitching that. The kooky, no.
Kooky liberal nutbag.
Tell us about, to answer your question, the only way that Bush can honestly go down is if the Democrats win back the House in the midterms, which they can. They only need 15. There's about 40 up for grabs. And if they don't, they should, it's useless. It's game over.
We're done.
But the only way they can facilitate a real investigation is going to be if they can get a majority.
Okay.
And John Conyers can have his way, and they
So you're saying it doesn't matter up until November how much the American public turns against this guy until we get the House and Senate back, it's all moot.
Not unless something that Jim feels is possible happens, which is that people get so pissed off, they actually go, enough of them go out into the streets and demand some sort of justice. But really, when it comes right, when was the last time someone ran into your house and go, "Let's go! We're going to take him down! We're taking Washington back!"
And you're
right. I'm meeting with my web guy in an hour.
Yeah,
the new CD's coming out.
I've got a Skittles audition.
Yeah,
way out in Venice. It's such a long. It's at 4, but it's 2. I got to leave now. It's gonna be all traffic.
I have to wear a space suit.
What you need is a MySpace for impeachment. Maybe somebody should work on that, huh?
Yeah, you could do that. Then the great thing. Here's a great example. The people in power in these bureaucracies, they don't care. They just say whatever they can, and they get away with everything. They've already gotten away with so much that I don't even think Karl Rove has got a spin on the midterms that's going to enable the Republicans any sort of edge. I mean, if the Democrats screw this up.
I'm going libertarian. I'm done.
So tell us about when your family met Hitler.
Oh yeah. I want to hear this.
My Uncle Bill, who was lived until 95 years of age.
All right.
Recently. He was on vacation in Germany in 1928, like a lot of people were back then, enjoying themselves. And he was with his college roommate. They went to Stanford, and his college roommate had relatives in Germany. And so they went up there to Berlin, and apparently they met von Hindenburg, who hugged them and said, "Hey, I'm sorry about the war," which he kind of said that. He said, "I'm sorry about your relatives dying in the war." And then this big, he got out of this limo, and there was this mustachioed guy in the back, it was Hitler. And he introduced Hitler to my Uncle Bill. And he said, "Hey, Herr Hitler, this is Bill Earl and so-and-so." And the only thing he did was go,
And your uncle immediately said, "Hey, I don't like them either, the Jews."
So Hitler was hanging out with Hindenburg?
Yeah, he was in the back of this limo with Hindenburg.
Was he the chancellor at that time?
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah, that was before Hitler took over.
Hitler was what they call a comer.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's just tooling around in this car.
Yeah.
Here's how this how this conversation gets ruined. Excuse me, but I'm Jewish. We'll
hey,
be back
so
in a
Hitler.
Second.
And now he causes tumors in mice. Mark Maron.
I do. It's the only way I know how to get rid of them. And I'm not going to share this secret with anybody. Patton Oswalt has been sitting patiently learning about the fact that he's filled with corn. Michael Pollan is still on the phone. It is fascinating.
I had no idea.
We're going to continue the conversation, but you have to do something with your dog.
I got
to
go pick up my dog from doggy daycare.
Oh, well, that's very sweet. And, yeah. And you're going to be, that gig's going to be over. You're going to be with me in Catalina June 6th.
Go no, Kate, June 10th.
June 10th.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what they're telling you. So go to the KTLK.com and get the details on the big Catalina adventure with Mark and Patton. So get out of here and let me finish talking to Michael.
That didn't sound gay at all. Thanks. Bye.
See you later. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming. So, Michael Pollan, that was an awkward moment. You were overhearing our break talk.
Yeah, no, it was fascinating.
Yeah. The show within the show. I'm so glad it didn't get ugly.